live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. It's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, indeed. We are Fleeger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
The slow crawl to 2,000, Rick, is getting closer on Twitter, at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And,
just
of course,
hope
you
it's
locals.
Not a train.
88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock.
All right, Rick, jam-packed show. No time for stick tonight. This is a big week for a couple of fantasy guys like us.
Week one is finally here.
Finally here. We are going to go through our League of Consequence, Rick, I believe you called it on Twitter earlier in the week. Selfishly, just going to go through that draft. Some interesting things, what it is, we'll get into it, but a real live draft with just real regular jerks. It should be called the 12 Jerks League is what it should be called. We're going to go through that. We're going to have a quick hitter, a quick special guest at the top of the hour. I always wanted to say that, Rick, at the top of the hour. Yes. And then after that, Rick, we have a game to pre-review. We have some start-sit advice to give. Is there will, in fact, be a real NFL game on Thursday?
A real honest-to-goodness NFL game where everything counts.
Everything counts, and we don't have to see a bunch of guys who are going to be bagging groceries next weekend.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I tell you what, yeah, it was, we had a draft Friday night of, like we say, our League of Consequence, and it has been around about, what, 6 years,
oh,
something like that, seven?
Probably before we came along, yeah.
But, well, no, it doesn't count.
And the hostile takeover you gave it then.
Well, yeah, but it's, 12 guys that are pretty doggone savvy. There's no question about that.
Yeah, the league has changed. No dead money. Of course, this is the Caveman Fantasy Football League, as we call it, instead of the 12 Jerks League, which I contend it should be. Sort of weeded out the dead money over the years down to some solid 12 guys, Rick. And I think we saw, if you haven't drafted yet, first of all, good for you. You better hurry up and do it. You only have a couple of days left. But some trends we're seeing, and some, I know, Rick, you want to take on the receiver theory. I went way off board on this one, Rick. I think we needed to discuss that. I like your team was more chalk the way you went, more solid the way you put it together. So I don't know if we want to go pick by pick, if we just want to talk about who was around our teams, Rick, however you want to do it, but I'll let you kick this off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly don't want to go pick for pick, but I find it quite interesting. In fact, we talked about it at the draft. The first three rounds, 36 picks, we had 22 running backs go out of 36.
Yeah, 22. That's high even for some of the experts leagues we've been in, Rick. I was surprised by that. Typically doesn't happen in that league. And then when we talk about my strategy when we get there, it could help me or it may have jumped up to bite me a little bit. Normally doesn't happen in that league. You see some early quarterback runs, which we saw a couple go, but not the big run we expected.
No,
receivers,
I mean,
just dropping like flies in this league.
Yeah, it was the typical Breeze and Rodgers actually went in the first two rounds, which, you know, that's pretty normal. You think about that. You think about a Calvin going in the first round. But in the first round, 10 running backs out of 12 picks. In the second round, we had 6 running backs. In the third round, had 6 running backs.
Yeah,
and, I mean, it was just solid up and down.
And in the fourth round, there wasn't none left. That's
yeah,
what it comes down
to. But one
to
was
there.
Taken.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was one there, and it picked up later on. So it started out the usual Peterson, Briggs, you took Charles. We all know how you feel about Charles. Disappointing to me, the guy I had penciled in, I picked 6th overall, Ray Rice, unfortunately went 3rd. Doug Martin, Arian Foster. So, Rick, what do you think? LeSean McCoy, who I took, you could make an argument for Spiller. You see him go there, Richardson, Lynch. LeSean McCoy rocketing it up my draft board, really the number 3 guy to me right now, so I was more than happy to take him at 6.
Yeah, I had no doubt you were going to take him at 6, unless maybe Ray Rice fell to you at that point.
Yeah,
but obviously he didn't at number 3, and so that was no surprise there. What did surprise me a little bit was where Spiller ended up going. Matt Forte went ahead of him.
Yeah, that was an interesting
Spiller actually went 12th overall in our league and followed right by Aaron Rodgers at 13.
Yeah, so you see Aaron Rodgers go, so Spiller Rodgers, a good start. Look, Spiller, a guy I haven't been real high on, I have to admit. We've talked about it a lot on this show, but the fall to 12th, just fantastic value there. Really surprised. Forte's a guy, Rick. This guy was at the end of the second round, sneaking into the third round in May and June. And as the summer has gone on, he's had a nice camp. You've seen him in a lot of the other leagues we did early in the second round, real early in the second round. And in this league, slips into the first round. People are really buying back into Matt Forte.
Yeah, and I think rightly so. I mean, during the preseason, you saw some nice long runs of him. You saw him getting handed off to in the red zone. And I think people are buying into Forte and hoping he lasts 13, 14 games.
And that's going to be the big thing, just how many games you get. I think you know you're not going to get 16, but this is a full-point PPR league, so hard to make the argument against that same guy coming back around, grabs Reggie Bush. You talk about building for the PPR, going down Danny Amendola later. You talk about this guy was taking full advantage of the PPR's format. So moving on, Steven Jackson goes next, no surprise there. Now this next pick surprised me, Rick, and I don't know if it should or not. Darren Sproles goes with the fourth pick in the second round. This is a guy who was pretty well entrenched in the middle of the second round for most of the summer. I have noticed, Rick, I don't know if you have in the drafts, other drafts you've done and any mocks you've done, Darren Sproles dropping a little bit. And in a PPR league, it surprises me. I actually, the next night, caught him in the middle of the third round. I believe I was the eighth pick overall. So the eighth pick of the third round, I was able to catch Darren Sproles as my second running back. This is a guy who's dropping a little bit. So at this point, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16th overall, too high, right where he should be, not high enough. Where are you at, and why do you think Darren Sproles keeps falling?
Well, yeah, as this draft suggests, he's not falling in full-point PPR, that's
right,
for sure. I mean, you're looking at 70, 75 catches most likely with a guy like him. Granted, you're not going to get the rushing yards, but you're going to get the catching and receiving yards, and you're going to get some touchdowns. I think middle of the second round is about where he should be going, you know, even in half-point PPR, I'm saying. But, you know, I don't know why he's falling the third. I mean,
here's my thing. In a full-point PPR, I'm going to have a hard time making a salient argument against it. However, this is what it is. You hit on it. He's not going to have the rushing yards. They have a logjam in that backfield. Now, granted, he's going to be on the field a lot. To your point, he's going to catch 70, 75 balls. Now, this is his number two running back. He actually started with Trent Richardson, so a real solid start there, no question about it. I like my running back to run the ball, too. I like a little better of a balance. You're counting a lot.
I agree.
A whole lot on him catching those 70, 75 balls. If he only catches 55 or 60, which is pretty big for a running back, but let's just say Ingram works out, or we've heard a lot about Pierre Thomas here in the offseason. One of these guys works out, and they're getting on the field more, and they're getting more carries and just taking plays away from Darren Sproles, and he drops to 50, 55, 60 receptions. Now I'm not as comfortable with that with my second running back.
I agree. I think there's a lot to be said. I mean, you know, On the way I draft running backs, I like to get guys that run the ball myself. It what's surprising to me, we know we've been in a lot of mock drafts. Alfred Morse.
Yeah, certainly.
Dropped to 18th overall.
18th, yeah, I have never seen him not go 12th or 13th. In any draft I did, that was the Alfred Morris spot on the turn there.
Right.
And somehow in this draft, boy, I was chomping at the bit, Rick, already sitting there at LeSean McCoy having the 19th pick coming up that Alfred Morris was going to get to me. Got sniped one pick ahead of me. So you start with Calvin Johnson. If that's a risk, and we've debated that back and forth, but if taking that wide receiver in the first round with the 7th overall pick is a risk, you mitigate that risk by getting Alfred Morris to fall to you there, and you have the beginnings of a really solid team.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And moving on, you had McCoy, and you started, and you lost Alfred Morris and Steven Jackson earlier. You picked up Brandon Marshall. I know you were eyeing up A.J. Green, who actually went two picks before that, but I don't think you can go wrong with Brandon Marshall.
No, it's hard to argue. Obviously, Chris Johnson's still on the board. David Wilson, obviously, with the news of Brown being injured and going to break in that bone and going to be missing some time. Wilson rocketed up in every draft I did. This guy was going fourth and fifth round in most cases, and now I saw him all weekend going in the second round, so people buying into that. So Chris Johnson, David Wilson, NJD, DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller still on the board. I went into this draft with a strategy, Rick, and we'll look at the team in total later on. But I went in, I was going to get, because of how high I was picking, I'm going to get that first big running back. It was going to be Rice or McCoy. And then I was going to target wide receivers, sort of a variation on what Dennis Farrell's been telling us to do with going receiver. I'm going to get that bell cow, that number one back, and then I was going to make that move, thinking that some of these running backs were going to drop to the later rounds, which, as you're going to find out, didn't happen. So I'm sitting there, Rick, Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant was my decision. I was waiting for A.J. Green to fall, like you said, two picks ahead of me. He goes. Here's my thing with Dez Bryant versus Brandon Marshall. I love Dez Bryant this year. Last year, short of Adrian Peterson, the last five games of the year, Dez Bryant was the highest scoring man in fantasy football. This is all based on gut, and here's why I chose Brandon Marshall. Number one, Brandon Marshall's the only game in town. We can keep the second year in a row now. We'll have this Alshon Jeffrey conversation. He's not going to be fantasy relevant. He's really not. I don't buy it. Dez Bryant, it's just gotten going into last season. This guy's a clown. You avoid him at all costs. He's injury prone. If he's nicked up, he can't play hurt. Now all of a sudden, he's the consensus number two. He's going ahead of A.J. Green in a lot of spots. He really is. Something about that just makes me nervous. I feel like I know Brandon Marshall's got a chip on his shoulder again. I hear all that going on. He's played like that his whole career. I think he's a safer bet than Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant probably higher upside. I have him ranked number three, I believe, honestly. But Brandon Marshall right there, sitting there with the plan I was going in with, I just thought he was probably the safer pick.
Oh,
I know I don't have to make the argument to you because of the man
no, you, don't,
you have
man.
On Brandon. But I think a lot of people I owe that explanation to who are in love with Dez Bryant.
Well, I mean, you look. Calvin Johnson was already gone and A.J. Green was already gone. And basically you're looking – the rest of that tier is Marshall, Dez Bryant, or Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, and I think you throw
basically
a blanket on him. I went for the comfort. Actually, the guy I like best out of those three is Demaryius Thomas. I just thought the 19th overall pick was too high for him. I actually was naive enough to believe, because in some of my mocks it's happened, that he could slip down to me back in that third round. So I took the risk. I know Brandon Marshall wasn't coming back. I knew Dez Bryant wasn't coming back. I just went with my gut, which I think you have to do a lot in these drafts, and went Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I think that was a great pick. And then right after Marshall was Chris Johnson, coupled up with Arian Foster in a running back tandem, which gets this guy off really solid.
Risk or untouchable? One of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's – I think Chris Johnson there, I think it's a safe play. I really do. I mean, that's a good, solid play. Look, you're at 12, 14, 16, 18, the 20th pick overall. I think that's a good pick. Especially when you start looking at running backs that are under him, I think you're right there in the safe zone. Jimmy Graham, you know, of course you knew it was going to happen sooner or later in the second round. He finally went. And then David Wilson went off. I think he skyrocketed a little bit with the injury to Andre Brown, to be honest with you. And then came my pick. I was next to the last in the second round. And this is where a little local knowledge came into play in this pick. I knew the guy who was drafting number one was targeting Dez Bryant, so he wasn't going to fall to me. And so I took him, and I thought that was just great value. I was tossing between him and Demaryius Thomas, so I took Dez Bryant. And consequently, the guy cussed me out two or three times, and then he took Demaryius
Thomas. Why a live draft is always better than on live.
Yes. Well, then he takes Demaryius Thomas, and he kind of surprised me swinging around. He went Julio Jones. So I'm sitting here thinking, nice, because Maurice Jones-Drew's still there, and I nailed him in the third, and I thought he was great value right there.
Yeah, no question about it. Swing back around. Maurice Jones-Drew is your number two, teamed up with Jamaal Charles and Dez Bryant in the third round. Love that pick. Come back down a guy I think's being overdrafted, even at that spot in the third round, DeMarco Murray, Rick. I just don't trust him. Lamar Miller, some question marks there. But as you see, the running back rush continues. So the next pick, Larry Fitzgerald, can't argue with that. So now it's back to me, Rick. I've got LeSean McCoy. I've got Brandon Marshall. I'm looking at the running backs left on the board. We got Stephen Ridley.
To your point, let me interject just for a minute. You're talking about some of the real question marks at running back in the third. You have DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller, even Ridley and McFadden. I can see what you're talking about. The one guy that really surprised me in there, we'll get to him a little bit later, was – what, third from the last in the third round was Frank Gore dropped that far.
Yeah, that's a lot further than he normally drops, no question about it. And that's where I was debating. So I'm sitting there, I've got McCoy, I've got Marshall. This running back run has come. You took MJB, not 11 Murray or Miller. So I'm looking at Frank Gore. I'm also thinking it's a full-point PPR league. There's going to come a year where Gore goes away. So, Rick, I did something I've never done. And for the second time in my first three picks, I went wide receiver with Andre Johnson.
Yeah, and that kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. But with the upside of Andre Johnson sitting there, the only surprise to me with you taking, not so much that you took another wide receiver, as much as you railed about Wes Welker, you didn't take him.
I thought about it, Rick. I really did. And he would have been next on the list. If there's three guys I was looking at, it was Johnson, Welker, and Gore. I don't think, Rick, I can take Wes Welker over Andre Johnson. I just can't do it. It's sort of the same argument for Marshall. Andre Johnson's the only game in town. I know, you know, your question mark with him is he doesn't find the end zone a lot. This is an 8 to 10 catch a game guy. He can go off for 150, 160 without even trying. For God's sake, he did it in a preseason game.
Right.
What was it, 9 grabs for a buck 40 or buck 70 or something obscene like that. Just a guy. I tell you what, I've never owned Andre Johnson a whole lot, and maybe that factored into it too. Hey, Rick, let's take a little pause here. We actually have a caller on the line.
All right.
So let's area code 609. You are on the air.
Yo, guys, we got Jersey and Hauser for another year. Me and Junior have won 5 championships over the last 8 years. So I just missed winning one last year, took second. You know, it was one of them things that happens. But quick question. I'm in a goofy PPR league. My standard league's not an issue. But like you said, I had the first pick. I went Peterson. I went A.J. Green. Then I went DeMarco Murray. Then I went Pierre Garçon. You know, got a nice team, Stafford in the fifth. Because quarterbacks in this league, you throw for 300 yards, you get major bonus points, 350, 400. You know, you get 10 points for a rushing touchdown, any position. You know, point for every 20 yards passing. My question to you is, I got Ben Tate. I grabbed him in the 7th round in both leagues, and he kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Ben Tate.
Oh, okay.
Is because in one league I got Wilson and Richardson starting, and my other league I got Murray and I got Foster. One's a standard, one's that PPR, but 10-point rushing touchdown. Now we don't have a flex. Do I just sit Tate this week, even though San Diego's horrible? And not play him over DeMarco Murray, because until we see what Houston's going to do, I mean, you know, what's your opinion on this situation? Because Tate's a stud if they play him, you know what I mean? Especially with 10-point rushing touchdown, PPR.
Yeah, that's huge, and it's definitely something to factor in. I think it's going to come down to if Arian Foster's starting, if he's healthy or whatever it whatever's healthy for Arian Foster. If he's getting the carries, don't know how much value Tate has. Now, if Foster ends up being hurt and goes down, you start Tate over DeMarco Murray every day. What you have, I think Tate's more talented than DeMarco Murray, but DeMarco Murray is going to get 15 more touches than he is, and I don't think you can take the risk quite yet on starting Ben Tate.
Wait and see if Tate plays. That's what I was thinking. And my other one, like I said, in my standard leg, I have Garçon starting over Decker. I guess does that look like a pretty good move? Then after that, I just have one other quick question. It looks like Garçon, in some of the leagues that I'm in, he's ranked a lot higher than Decker this week because they're playing the Eagles. And, you know, I'm an Eagles fan, don't get me wrong, I'm a Jersey guy, but Eagles defense kind of, you know, it has its issues. It's got its growing pains again.
Yeah, I think with a healthy RG3, Rick, and I'll let you weigh in, with a healthy RG3, I think Pierre Garçon's a low-end number one guy. He can perform at that anyhow.
Yeah, I'm not, you know that. I'm not the highest guy on Garçon. However, the guy is talented. And, you know, it seems like Washington has a pretty good punch this year. And I worry about Garçon's injury proneness, should I say. But I tell you what, if he's healthy, he's certainly worth a start. I mean, you know, yeah, he gets banged up, then forget about him. But right now, I think that's where you put him. Put him in the lineup.
And I truthfully believe, and we'll start finding out on Thursday, I think while he's just should still have a nice year. I think Eric Decker's now the number three guy in Denver, and we've Garçon being the number one in Washington. Again, especially in week one with a lot of unanswered questions, I'd play it safe there.
Okay, and last question. I usually never ask a kicker question, but I'm going to be up in New York the next couple of days, so I won't be able to so I'll watch the game up there. I got Tucker who goes Thursday night. Now, in this league, I got Tucker. If you kick under a 30-yard field goal, you only get 2 points. Anything more than that, you get 3 or – you get big bonus points, and if you hit like a 50-yard, you might get 7 bonus points. And they're playing in Denver. But I also have Forbeth, that guy from Washington, who's a pretty good sleeper. Based on the situation, one plays Monday night, one plays Thursday night. Would you like Tucker going against Denver in Denver with the mile-high thing with the scoring structure they have with kickers? Or do you like, or do you think it'll be more touchdowns that Washington will do against Philly with Forbeth?
I'll be honest with you. If I've got an accurate kicker, which Tucker is, I like just about anybody in Denver.
Yeah, if you can't be in a dome, give me the guy kicking at Mile High Stadium while the weather's still good.
Okay, and that's what I was thinking, because that air up there, he could be booting some pretty long ones, and we know how Baltimore's offense is kind of like Philly. They do sputter a lot and do have to kick field goals, so that was my thinking. I do have him in now, so that's why I was wanting to see, like, Tucker there then. All right, guys, I appreciate it. Hey, are you guys normally going to be, like, 6:30 this on Tuesdays? Are you on the other days you guys are on?
We'll be on 6:30 Tuesdays. We've gotten rid of the Friday show. We're actually going Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. We're going to call it the Sunday morning inside slant from 10 to 11:30 each Sunday.
The same number that I have you guys at now?
You got it.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you guys in your league. Thanks for your voice. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you this season. And thanks again for coming to me, Junior. I appreciate it very much. And have a good night, guys. Thank you.
You too. Great to hear from you and talk to you.
Thank you.
Same to you, man.
All right. So Jersey in the house is back. We talked to him at the end of last year. And everybody call in. That call-in number, 646-478-4679, especially on the Sundays. That's what we'd really like the inside slant to be.
Yes, indeed. You might want to check. Just they're saying in the chat room that they don't have sound. So I don't know.
They don't have sound.
I'm hoping we haven't got kicked out.
It's showing I'm on the air here.
Okay.
Spin it around. We're showing up. Let me see if we're recording. We're certainly recording there. Has it been the whole show, or did it just
No,
kick
they
out?
Just started typing about it, and it says one guy says it was the sound keeps freezing up, and then another one says I don't have sound, and, you know, it's the old BTR.
Yeah,
that's
a Blog Talk issue. The Skype is up and running.
Up and running. We're hardwired and everything, so everything should be good that way. We apologize if the BTR's not coming through.
On the good news, then I get to spend that extra half an hour loading. Good thing we record the raw feed as well. I get to load that on since the Blog Talk feed not coming through.
Yeah.
So hopefully that comes back around. So let's get back, Rick. We got the guest coming on in about 5 minutes. Let's get through as much of this as we can. So we've gotten as far as me. Then we go Ridley, McFadden, Welker, Gore, Peyton Manning, Roddy White. No surprises there.
No, not at all. And then we start getting into, the fourth round. Gets a little, a few surprises. But, of course, the typical wide receiver run starts. Monty Ball leads it off. And then Danny Amendola.
Now, that surprises me. Let's just go, rather than go through this whole...
Right.
But let's look at the guys that went after Danny Amendola. Randall Cobb. Everybody's higher on him than I am, but Randall Cobb goes. Reggie Wayne. Antonio Brown. A little early for him, I thought. Victor Cruz. I took Vincent Jackson. We'll get back to that. I've just gone three receivers in a row.
Right.
Marcus Colston. Jordy. Dwayne Bowe. You take Hakeem Nicks. All after Danny Amendola. I like Amendola this year. You see Kembrell Tompkins being drafted all of a sudden. He's sort of the hot commodity. I think a healthy Amendola is going to be that number one guy in New England. So if you're willing to grant me that, Rick, now I know you can't grant me that he's going to be healthy. We know his history. But let's just argue with a healthy Danny Amendola. Is he above most, any, none of those guys for you?
Okay, a healthy Amendola in the Patriot offense, to me, excuse me, I would certainly take him over – Antonio Brown, I think even Jordy Nelson this year, Hakeem Nicks, maybe even Colston because they spread it out in New Orleans. But, till I see it, but that's the thing, though, a healthy Amendola. That's the thing. I got Dwayne Bowe. I know I got him about 16 games.
Yeah, he's going to play. I don't know how well he's going to play, but he's going to play.
But, we've seen him 16, 17 touchdowns, too. And a lot of people bash on Alex Smith not being a great quarterback. You don't have to be a great quarterback. And if you got Jamaal Charles, he stays healthy, and they start flinging it out to use a tight end a little bit. You start passing to Jamaal Charles. Dwayne Bowe is going to open up. And like I said, you don't have to be a superb quarterback to have some stats to Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, look at Brandon Marshall last year and look at Cutler's stats.
Yeah.
They were horrid. But Brandon Marshall, 65% of the receptions yardage from Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking at. And I think if Amendola stays healthy, look, there's guys I'm going to be more comfortable with. I'm probably going to take Cobb ahead of him, even though I'm not going to take Cobb. Wayne, I think they're on the same level. I got him ahead of Antonio Brown. I like Victor Cruz more. I'm actually surprised Victor Cruz falls into the fourth round of all these drafts. I think he's in that tier right behind the top tier. I really do. You know, if you put Julio Jones as the end of that top tier, which I'm willing to do, I think Cruz is pretty solidly in the Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Roddy White tier for me. Vincent Jackson I like more than Amendola. Colston, look, Colston's steady. He's not sexy, and that's why he falls. But he's just steady week after week, and he'll have the occasional really big week. But he's the number one option for Drew Brees. I'm surprised this guy gets disrespected as much as he does. Bo, you made a good argument for. That's closer for me than you think. But I think that's 50-50. And Knicks, I do like Amendola over that. So maybe a little high, and this is the highest I've seen Amendola go. But when I really think about it, if you can factor the health out, which you can't, and that's why Amendola went too high, if you could count on Danny Amendola to play each and every week, I think that's probably where he belongs, maybe higher.
Yeah,
but you can't count on him to play.
But you can't. So I think he got taken too early in my mind. And hitting on Colston and Bo, you know, there they are towards the end of the fourth round. I think, you know, that's pretty good value right down there, because you can. There's a lot of upside there. You're Vincent Jackson in the fourth round. Why he's dropping so far, I don't know. After the year he had last year, I thought that was a superb pick. I was a little dubious to taking Hakeem Nicks. Because I was, as we talked before we went on air, I'm sitting there like about five picks before, and I saw Jackson, Colston, and Bo, and I'm, you know,
one of them's got to fall. Right?
Oh yeah,
because I'm going running back. You know, I'm going running back.
Yeah.
Right.
You take Jackson, then Colston, and then Bo fell one pick before me. So, but you know, Hakeem Nicks in the fourth round, he's got upside. I know he's been down a little bit. He's a little injury prone, but you know. I thought he was the best value at wide receiver right there.
I look at it, you have to look at it by the guys who went next. And as you moved on to the fourth and fifth picks of the fifth round, you see Pierre Garçon and Mike Wallace go. Those two guys, Rick, I might have taken ahead of Nicks. After that, you get into your DeSean Jacksons, your
James Jones.
So that's where that tier ends. I like Garçon and Wallace more, but I think those three are probably on the same plane, and you just go with whoever you're more comfortable with.
Yeah. So I just went with Knicks. And then Cam Newton went the end of fourth round, and a little too early for me. The first pick of the fifth round was Jason Witten. And I know I'm going to take heat for this one. And you know how much I love this guy. But the second pick of the fifth round, you know, I already had Jamal Charles and Maurice Jones-Drew, and I had Dez Bryant and Hakeem Nicks. And I saw what was left at running backs, and Ryan Matthews was the best value. No, as far as I'm concerned.
That's just pathetic.
Yes, it is pathetic.
However, all the junk you have talked.
However, I told you where he should be going, and that's where I took him.
All right, you're right, and you, a man of your word, Rick, that's what you did. So let's take another pause, Rick. We have a call on the line. I'm wondering, I was going to introduce it, but I'm not 100% sure. So let's go to area code 609. Caller, how you
doing?
Hey,
guys. Hey, I apologize for bothering again. It's Jersey here. Junior asked me, he's going through the state police process to, you know, hopefully get into one of the classes next year. He meant to ask me, he's in the PPR league also, but he has a tape.
Who did dog draft, Jersey? Who did dog draft?
This was a PPR league. He's in our PPR league.
Okay, go ahead.
And he wants to sure if he should play Golden Tate or Kemp, that guy, Kemp, that Thompson guy, Tompkins from New England. Because he already has that is Bryant starting, but he wasn't sure if he should go with any another two receiver PPR. Does he go with Golden Tate, or does he take a shot with that rookie undrafted guy who's been letting it up for Brady for New England?
I tell you, this is maybe one place to do get a little crazy and do a little gambling. Yeah, I mean, you got that potent New England offense. Tompkins been looking great. You know, Golden Tate's, you know what you got with him, and it's not the upside to me isn't nearly as high as what you may have with Tompkins. I think I'd roll the bones with Tompkins this week.
Yeah, I agree. It's more of a risk. You know what you're getting with Golden Tate, but in a PPR, if the game plan is such, if coming from Hoodie is such, that Tompkins is going to be the feature guy there. I think in a PPR format, the upside's there. It could come back to bite you, but I don't think you're risking a lot sitting Golden Tate down. Why not take the chance, especially with already having Dez Bryant starting?
All right, I'll tell Junior. I think he's got Tompkins in, but I wasn't sure. And he said, did you ask him? I said, I forgot. So, again, I apologize for bothering you guys.
No problem.
Your voice there. Thank you. Take care.
Right. Take care. Good to hear from you. All right, Rick, now on the air is our guest. I know this is Seth Young. Seth is an entrepreneur, Rick, who has worked in internet gaming for over 10 years. His latest project, Star Fantasy Leagues, in conjunction with brothers Zach and Justin Stanley, is a place where you can legally bet real money on fantasy sports, including football, from Rochester, New York. And we won't hold this against him, Rick, a Patriots fan. This is Seth Young. Seth, how you doing?
Gentlemen, doing well. How are you?
We're doing good. Can you hear us okay? You sound a little broken up there.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
A little bit. It's kind of breaking up a little bit.
Well, I'm going to give you a call right back then and see if we can't get a better line.
All right, let's try that again. So we'll wait for you, Seth. Thanks a lot. So while Seth calls back in, Rick, you were Ryan Matthews, Tom Brady went, so here comes the quarterback run, although not really. Pierre Garçon, Mike Wallace, and then back to me, Rick. Now here I'm sitting one running back, three receivers in a row, something I ever did. Now I'm desperate for the running back. The one guy I had left on my board that I thought had enough upside, we talked to Dennis about this last week. He wasn't as high on him as I am, but Daryl Richardson. I'm going into the year with Daryl Richardson as my number two running back. Go ahead and attack me.
No, I'm not going to attack you because where you got him, I think that was probably the best value there at the running back position. I think the upside with him is pretty high. I like Richardson. I could make an argument for Mendenhall. I mean, he is the number one guy, and of course he's in the Arians offense. You know, he's used to that. So, you can make an argument for Mendenhall. He's had success. A lot of people are buying into Vereen. Those two guys.
No, certainly not.
And maybe about the only other argument I can make with the way you touted Eddie Lacy, that you may have taken him first.
But I gave it some thought.
I like Daryl Richardson better.
All right. All right, Rick, I think we got Seth back on the line. So Seth of Star Fantasy Leagues, we got you clear now.
Hey, guys, I hope you can hear me okay.
All right. You sound good now.
So, Seth, thanks
for
calling.
All right, great.
Tell everybody what you got going on at Star Fantasy Leagues.
Yeah, guys, it's great to be on. I appreciate that you're taking my call. Star Fantasy Leagues is awesome. If you haven't seen the weekly fantasy sports craze, then it's definitely something you should check out. We're running $10,000 in guaranteed tournaments this week where you can come, you draft a team, and you enter it into a real money contest. Or you can play for free. We give away $100 a week during the season where you can basically enter for nothing and win free cash. And we're giving away over $100,000 this season to anybody who really likes fantasy football. It's at starfantasyleagues.com.
Yeah, I got to tell you, these daily leagues, these weekly leagues, whatever you want to call them, really growing big time. And I've become a big fan of them. Just last year I started to get into it. It's sort of nice being able to get that new team every week or that one hot guy. When you do these, are these leagues pick'em leagues? Are they salary cap leagues? How do they work over at Star Fantasy?
Yeah, we don't really go with the pick'em leagues. We do salary cap games. Right now you get $100,000 in cap money. And we've built a proprietary algorithm that ranks and sets values to our players based on a whole variety of stats. So when you come and you see our player values, it's based on a lot of different things. So you take the knowledge that you have and you just put it into drafting the best team you can, and you hope that you beat the other people that are doing the same thing as you. You win, you get the most points, you win the most cash.
Great. Yeah, it sounds great. So, hey, while we have you on as a New England Patriots fan, that last caller, we had a question about Kembrell Thompson. What are your thoughts there? Because I don't know what to make of him. He's sure become the flavor of the month.
I was going to chime in. I was excited to chime in about that. I've got Kembrell Thompson stashed on almost all my benches. I think he's amazing. At least he put up great numbers in the preseason. But, I mean, given a choice between him and who is the other one?
Oh, it was Golden Tate, so
yeah,
I don't
Golden
think
there
was a
Tate,
lot of
yeah.
question there.
Yeah. I don't think there's a question that you're starting Kenbrell Tompkins in the PPR league. I mean, Golden Tate is feast or famine, and Kenbrell Tompkins he can get probably 10 receptions a game.
Exactly.
I mean, if they're really throwing.
I've been an Aaron Dobson stasher so far this year. I'm kind of high on him. He's a big kid. I think they all could contribute to that New England offense this year.
What do you think about Zach Sudfeld this year, the mini Gronk?
Yeah, the mini Gronk. Why not? I mean, they had two, I don't see why not. I mean, the guy's big, he's got hands, and he runs pretty good routes. So I've seen him going just about every draft, so I think he's got a lot of upside.
You know, Gronk being back in practice, though, at full speed, I just wonder how much he's not Aaron Hernandez. It's probably a name we're not supposed to speak, especially to a Patriots fan. But I don't know if he's Hernandez. Are they going to do a two tight end set like they did with Aaron Hernandez? He's worth stashing, certainly, but I think I'm going to wait a couple. Although, unless Gronk doesn't play, I think Sudfeld's probably a start just the way they use the tight end. If Gronk's playing, I'm going to have to wait and see with him.
I think that's a good plan. I don't know. It's a completely different Patriots team than it's been every other year. Now they've got they actually have a respectable running game with Ridley in there. And then Vereen's no slouch himself, so we'll see. But against the Buffalo D, I think I'm taking anybody on the Patriots.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I think they're all pretty safe.
As a bold statement there.
Well, Seth, we thank you. Thank you for calling in. We definitely appreciate it. Hopefully we can get you on. I know we talked about, and we'll get in touch, maybe do a little something on those Sunday morning shows. Get everybody out to your site. Why don't you plug it one more time? Let them know where they can find you.
For sure, guys. Check out StarFantasyLeagues.com. We're made by fans for fans. We're all football fanatics. We're based out of Rochester, New York, so we're filled with Bills fans. Please come support us. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm alone in my office. I could use your help getting back in my Bills fan friends. So come on to StarFantasyLeagues.com. We'll treat you right, and hopefully you'll win a little cash as well.
All right, we'll check it out soon. Thanks a lot, Seth. StarFantasyLeagues.com. Hopefully we talk to you real soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Seth.
All right. And, Rick, I got to tell you, these daily leagues, I do love it. I got into it last year. We teamed up with a different outfit last year. Got a chance to check out the I like the look and the feel of the Star Fantasy League ones a little better. It's just sort of cool looking. It looks kind of futuristic. I don't know if you had a chance to go
I haven't yet, but
and
I'm
I know
certainly
you,
going
you
to.
Dabbled with them a little bit this year. I'm all in on the daily leagues. Next year, I might not do any real drafts.
I'm getting into it now.
Then I do stupid crap like draft a running back and then three receivers in a row, and my whole life revolves around Daryl Richardson for the next 16 weeks. In a daily league, Rick, I wouldn't have to deal with that.
That's true. You only have to deal with him for 1 week.
So hopefully some plans, maybe we can get one thing I wanted to bring up, Rick, I forgot. Seth was so anxious to be on the show. He's basically been on hold for 12 hours as there was a there was an AM, PM scheduling snafu, we'll call it, having on. So we appreciate Seth being patient and getting out of bed early this morning, since I didn't specify at which 7 o'clock we'd be on the air.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, let's get moving on to your Daryl Richardson. We went on down through the fifth round, Matt Ryan, RG3, then Mendenhall, Giovanni Bernard, then who is that? DeSean Jackson, James Jones. Then we come up to your pick, and it kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. You went Chris Ivory in the sixth round.
I'm not proud of it, Rick. I'm really not. I know Belial Powell is getting a lot of talk. I know, Rick, you were higher coming out of last preseason.
I was, yeah.
I'm getting these. Calm down. I know you want to yell at me.
No, I don't. I'm just saying.
I know he's had a bad camp. I've seen what this kid can do in limited action. He's never done it full time. I don't buy into Belial Powell. I hate the Jets, and I don't like having Chris Ivory as my third back. Let's look at the guys again that went after Vereen. You know, maybe we should ask Seth about Vereen. I don't trust it, Rick. You know, they're lining him up all over the place. I think he's going to have a couple of massive games, and I think there's going to be 2-, 3-, 4-point games coming out of him, too, just depending on how that game plan goes. No Sean Marino. Look, that'd have been great for a week or two. I think it works out to Monte Ball eventually. I like Marino early in the year here. Then you come back down. The next one I took, I reached on Le'Veon Bell, just hoping he gets back. Ellie, this is a guy that was being drafted in the second round. You just look at the guys that went over. I'll just read the names. So I've had Eddie Lacy targeted there. That's the guy I wanted. Bradshaw or Lacy, they all both went a couple picks ahead of me. So after I took Ivory, Vereen, Moreno, Bell, who was me, so Woodhead, Fred Jackson, Rogers, Helu, it got real thin real quick. Powell goes in the 10th round. You take Jonathan Franklin, Bush. Now we're into the backups, Rick. This is probably the only guy, as a guy not buying into Vereen. Vereen was probably the pick there, and especially in the position I was in, I might regret that a little bit. I just have such a hatred for this Vereen craze. I think I let that cloud my judgment. After that, you got the injured guy who I took, and now you're into backup territory. You're into number two guy territories. This guy very well could be a number two, but has the potential to be a number one. Even on a bad team, if I have a guy who could and maybe should be getting number one carries, that's why I had to take him there.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are just miserable.
Oh, abysmal.
And there's no question about that. But, you know, let's look back.
We ever come back on in the on Blog Talk? Has anyone said anything, or did they all leave the chat room?
No, I haven't said anything. I mean, we've actually got some comments on things we said.
Okay,
so
well, good. Hopefully Blog Talk got straightened out. And check it out. I will post a clean copy of this on Blog Talk. If you missed anything, you can certainly listen back.
But I guess in your defense, we're talking about how bad the Jets are. I mean, we know how bad Jacksonville was in previous years, and they had the National League Football League rushing champion. Now, Chris Ivory's no MJD, of course, but that doesn't prevent him maybe being a solid contributor to your team. So, you know, at least he's a number one back.
Right.
Well, we think.
We
anyway.
Think. You know, it could be, I don't know, could be an RBBC. They could both stink, and there's some guy on that roster we've never heard of. It's the position I put myself in. So, I don't know. You want to swing through and see if there's any steals, any picks you like, or we can do what it's really all about is us, and we'll just go through our two teams and compare and contrast.
Well, we can just kind of breeze through. If we see any real value picks, we can bring them up. I'll go to the first value pick. I actually thought Tony Romo in the 9th round was a great pick.
Yeah, yeah, you catching him there. He's a guy I had targeted coming back down. Romo and Luck were left. I figured one of those guys is going to fall to me. Round 9 is quarterback round for me. We've had this discussion over and over again. We won't waste any more of your time with that. I figure one of them fall to me. I get stuck with Eli, which I don't hate. I don't love. But Tony Romo, getting him in the 9th round. Look, people are spending second round picks on Breeze and Rodgers, third round picks on Manning, fourth and fifth round picks on the likes of Newton, Ryan. We saw RG3 go, which is way too early. Brady, you're getting Tony Romo. He's a top 10 guy for me. You're getting him in the 9th round, and you were able to build a solid team before you had to take your quarterback.
Yeah, and I've got it to me I think he's my 7th-ranked quarterback. So if I can get my 7th-ranked quarterback for fantasy in the 9th round, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell you, I'm going to make one observation here. You know, saw earlier in the year, a lot. We've done a ton of mocks. A lot of the expert leagues and so on and so forth. And we've seen, you know, Graham and Gronk and Witten and Gonzalez, a lot of these guys going, you know, second round, third round, this, that, and the other. You know, Graham went second in our draft. The next tight end went in the 5th, and that was Witten. Gronkowski didn't go till the 6th round, which is very surprising.
And Vernon Davis, there was no – and that was interesting about this league, Rick, is running backs flew off the board. The quarterbacks fell. This is usually a more quarterback-heavy league. We never got that tight end run. There was a 13th-round tight end run, which is about where I believe where the tight end run should be.
Yeah.
You know, you sprinkle him through Jimmy Graham in the second, end of the second, where he always goes in every draft you have ever done in your life. Well, this year, every draft you've done. Witten in the 5th, a little surprising. He went ahead in the 6th. You can get Vernon Davis, Rob Gronkowski, so on and so forth. And Tony Gonzalez falls to the 7th. You want to talk about a steal there. That's a top three or four tight end. Catch him in the 7th round.
Gates in the 7th.
I'm not ready to give up on Gates. I know he's been down. As weak as I feel the tight end position is, you catch him in the 7th, I like. I waited till the 11th, took Kyle Rudolph, a guy I'm really high on. I'm higher on him than most other folks are. They said it wasn't until the 13th round you got a tight end run. So sort of surprising there and some good value there at the tight end position.
Yeah, definitely, no doubt about that. I mean, Jermichael Finley went in the 13th round. He was one that went. Jared Cook can turn out to be a good value down there.
If you listen to people talk, people out of St. Louis talk, this guy is just emerging as one of these real breakout kind of candidates. I didn't end up with him in any draft. You've had to take him a little higher, I think, to get him, although he fell in this one. But definitely a guy whose name's being mentioned up there with the elites. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Here's one that kind of caught my eye, just where he fell. The 11th round, in fact, almost at the end of the 11th round, Brian Hartline, here's a 1,000-yard receiver, and, you know, I mean, he that could translate into a pretty doggone good pick in the 11th round.
Yeah, I mean, being in Cleveland now, I am right about that, right? Yeah, being in Cleveland now.
Who?
Hartline. Why are you staring at me?
Why wouldn't I stare at you?
Well, I know I'm good looking, but...
Well, why wouldn't I stare at you?
I don't know. Why?
He's in Miami.
Yeah, I guess he is. Who am I thinking of?
Bess went to Cleveland.
Bess, that's where. All right, never mind. You talk. I'm out. I just had the complete brain cramp. I
wanted to leave you hang, and you didn't know.
You're a dick.
Yeah, thank you so much. But, no, Bess went to Cleveland. But Wallace down in Miami.
Why did I think Brian Hartline?
I have no clue.
Good Lord.
But that's why I think that could translate into great value. If you got Wallace taking the lid off a lot of them defenses, you know,
could open up things
that could translate to number two coverage and a lot of things underneath. And I just think, you know, towards the end of the 11th round, you know, that's a good pick. I mean, good wide receiver three, you know,
yeah,
when you
put
him
nice
up there with Welker and Wayne.
You know, you talk about him as a 1,000-yard receiver. Let's be honest. He had, what, 260 of those in one game. As a three, I'd prefer him as a four, but a guy to stash away, a guy who gets forgotten a lot. In fact, I moved him to Cleveland, for God's sakes, of all the disrespectful things to do to a human being. I sent him to Cleveland. And not only did I send him to Cleveland, I mistook him for Devon Best, which is an even bigger insult. So to Brian Hartline and the entire Hartline family, I apologize.
I don't know if they're going to accept that, but that's
I
the best we can
them.
Do.
I wouldn't blame them if they didn't. So, Rick, real quick, we're running
boob.
Out of time.
God.
What a dick.
Why am I with you?
I don't understand. I'm the talent, Rick. You're the thinking guy.
Thank
around
you.
Here. That's
okay,
what
well, how about
let's
you?
Compare our teams real quick.
Okay, let's do
that because I want to preview Thursday's game and I want to talk about the Sunday show and
do.
Our leagues coming up, and we've only got about 12 minutes left. So, Rick, let's start with you. Let's just go position by position. You're rolling out week one, presumably. Tony Romo, Jamal Charles, MJD, Dez Bryant, Hakeem Nicks. Who are you going to play in your flex this week? Ryan Matthews?
I think I'm going Ryan Matthews. If I'm going to roll the bones at fifth round on Ryan Matthews, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to stick him in the flex.
That's just pathetic.
It is. It's pathetic.
I still can't believe you
he's
drafted
going
Ryan
in.
Matthews.
He's going in.
It was the right draft pick. I just can't believe you had the audacity to make it after the horrifically nasty personal insults you've heaved his way for the last 24 months on this show.
Never personal.
Your tight end, Greg Olsen, I love that in the 11th round. You and I both waiting in the 11th round to get our tight end. I'm pretty high on Greg Olsen this year.
Yeah, I like Greg Olsen. He's a good, solid pick, and I got Baltimore defense, and I got Greg the Leg Zuerlein. So then
let's look at your bench. I like your bench at the receiver position. You get to choose T.Y. Hilton, huge upside. Steve Smith could very well emerge if he's the Steve Smith of 2 years ago. I know he was down.
Yeah.
But if Steve Smith, we know what he's capable of being, a top 10 wide receiver when healthy. I know he's a step older. Greg Jennings, I think, a big wild card. But, Rick, for you to have him as your 1-2, as your fifth wide receiver, talk about huge upside there with your fifth wide receiver. Yeah, you get a little thin, although with Jonathan Dwyer being cut, catching Isaac Redman in the 12th. So pretty solid squad there. I think you're set up for the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little thin at running back, especially if Matthews goes down, which I always profess that he does. You know, Jonathan Franklin, certainly really sketchy with him, you know, and Eddie Lacy.
But if Eddie
Lacy...
He
hasn't been looking real good either, Jonathan Franklin.
No, everybody high, you especially high on him early in the preseason and just didn't pan out. Although, if Eddie Lacy goes down, I assume Jonathan Franklin assumes that role and maybe some value there.
Yeah, and I think I got some value with Redman. So even if Matthews does go down, I still basically have, if I'm starting Bryan and Nicks, I got Hilton, Smith, or Jennings to throw into a flex. So
yeah,
I think I'm okay.
In a PPR league, I don't hate that in a flex, especially Steve Smith there. So then looking at me, I'm Stucky Eli Manning, some clown by the name of Ben Nelly. We'll just call him out right on the air. He was that guy this year who took his second quarterback in the 8th round. He took Cam Newton in the 4th, Russell Wilson, who I was targeting. He takes him in the 8th. So throws it off, and I get handcuffed with Eli Manning. Could pay big dividends, could drive me nuts all year. Sort of just nothing exciting, but no huge risk there. Then I'm rolling out LeSean McCoy, obviously Daryl Richardson. You know, my big that's where my team hinges. So those will be my two running backs
in
one. I'm going to start my trio of Brandon Marshall, Andre John. I'll throw Vincent Jackson in my flex. Hope I never need Chris Ivory, Le'Veon Bell. Hopefully he gets healthy here by the beginning of October. So that's where it hinges. Does Richardson pay off? Does Le'Veon Bell come back healthy in October and do what we thought he was going to do when everyone was drafting him second round back in the spring and the early summer?
He could be the real wild card on your team right there.
Yeah. So I have those three receivers, and then I had to go on that running back run. So my fourth receiver is Gibbons. He's sort of the fantasy darling now. Guys like us are all in a lather over him. The one that stuck in my head when I made that pick, Rick, was that question we were asked last week, that Dennis asked us. Is the Rams offense good enough for all these guys to pan out? We're talking about Cook. I'm high on Daryl Richardson, Chris Givens, Tavon Austin. Are they good enough to have all those fantasy stars? That stuck in my head, but in the 10th round is my fourth wide receiver.
Right.
I have no qualms about it. Kyle Rudolph at the tight end, nobody cares. Rolled the dice on Andre Brown. They're saying the break's not that bad. He could get back. And if you get David Wilson coughing the ball up as he's wont to do, I don't think Coughlin will hesitate for a minute to give that ball to Andre Brown when he gets back healthy. Then I took the flyer. I always like to take that one flyer. I took the darling of this week, Marcus Wheaton, the new deep threat in Pittsburgh. Probably be the first guy I'm going to drop, but I don't mind stashing him for a couple of weeks.
No, and he could pay dividends. I mean, who knows? So, you know, you have a couple of weeks to find out if
right.
he starts working into that offense.
So, all in all, I like my team. Don't love my depth. I love the first, you know, the top five I'm bringing out there with my running backs and my receivers and my flex spot. Have some risks there. I like that team. To be honest, I don't admit this kind of stuff often, Rick. I'd probably be more comfortable going in with your team. But just going through this, your drafts are probably over. This will be the last show we do anything like this as far as drafts go. But just interesting the way it went. And, Rick, interesting, I think that there's a difference between an online draft and the way these live drafts go. Just a real different feel, some different results, and didn't go the way I planned at all.
No, it didn't. I was changing almost every round.
By round
really
three,
did.
I had crumpled up my notes and thrown them on the floor. It was just best available that quick.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I knew I was taking Charles, and that's about it, the only pick that I knew I was getting. And that's as far as that went. But all in all, I like my team. So things will have to – well, we'll just kind of – you know, as season progresses, we'll update, how they're doing. But let's get on to Denver and Baltimore.
Denver,
week
Baltimore,
one.
Thursday, 8:30, live on NBC. Real, honest to goodness, thank God for actual football.
Yeah, and it's a good one, too. We got the defending champ, Baltimore Ravens. A lot of people thinking, you know, the defense was gutted. But I tell you what, they seem to infuse a lot of good, hungry young talent in there, and they look every bit as good and vicious as they ever have been.
Well, and you'll know by about 9 o'clock on Thursday evening exactly what that defense is looking like. I think probably what is the best offense in the NFL, or at least in the AFC this year, that Denver offense. You know, let's just go through it. Obviously, you're starting Peyton Manning.
Definitely.
The running back's going to be the question mark there. You're going to have to watch it there. If you can avoid it, hopefully these guys were your third backs. You know, your Monty Balls, your Ronnie
Hillman.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to be
Sean Moreno. If I had to pick a guy this week, Rick, I think it'd be Sean Moreno. If I was in a bind, or if I'm in a 16-team league or a 18-24-team league, if I got to play, I'm probably playing Ball and him. I say avoid Ronnie Hillman at the receiver position. Obviously, Demaryius Thomas, no question. Obviously, Wes Welker, no question. Eric Decker's sort of a question to me. Probably your third receiver. I'd throw him into a flex.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in a 10-teamer you're not using him, but
right.
I think from 12, anything else, you got Eric Decker in there.
On the Baltimore side, Joe Flacco, after being the big offseason darling, yeah, he drops off. Obviously nothing there. Ray Rice, clearly you're starting. How do you feel about, my mind just went blank, Rick, Torrey Smith? There's a guy sort of teetering on the edge of a number two receiver. Do you trust Torrey Smith?
No, I do not.
Flex spot. It's not as a number two, a flex spot.
I'm not buying into, and I've said this 1,000 times from February on, I am not buying into the Joe Flacco air show that we saw in the playoffs. And I don't care how many times they say, well, you know, the new offensive coordinator, that's what they're going to do. They don't have Bolden, who's his safety blanket. You got Pitta out for the year. Now, I know Dixon's coming back, and you still have Ray Rice. And look, Torrey Smith is certainly going to be catching some balls. But I don't want him, you know, I don't want to have my team hinging on a Torrey Smith. And, you know, looking at one of the teams in our league, he's basically his wide receiver too. He went with Dwayne Bowe the first, and then he got Torrey Smith in the sixth round. And then Josh Gordon is your wide receiver three. Yeah. I can see a lot stronger wide receiver cores up there.
Yeah, yeah, not comfortable with Torrey Smith as a two. Love to have him on my bench. Wouldn't mind playing him in a flex. But I'm with you. I think you're going to get back to basics. You have Ray Rice there. I think he's going to be running the ball. He's going to be catching a bulk of the passes. You know, all the talk of their backfield there with Pierce, I think you see him getting some carries. I think you see a more grinded out kind of team this year.
And I see Torrey Smith right on the same plane, especially now with Percy Harvin hurt. Him and Sidney Rice, very similar, to be honest with you. And, you know, do you have him on your team? Sure, I have no problem with that. You play him now and again, but I don't think
he's going to have some big weeks.
Right.
He's going to catch some 60, 70-yard touchdown passes. So
flex is a great spot for him.
You're going to see I think you're going to see this stat line out of him a lot. There's going to be two stat lines you're going to see. You're going to see four catches for 112 yards and a touchdown, but you're also going to see a lot of 3 and 4 catches for 38 yards and no touchdowns out of Torrey Smith. I think that's who Torrey Smith is. Fine in a flex, especially in a deeper league, but definitely not your number two receiver.
I agree. You had last year, you had the Anquan Bolden and the Torrey Smith show. I mean, we all know about Anquan Bolden, but now you have Torrey Smith and what? Jacoby Jones. So it's
the guy that intrigues me.
It's intriguing, but it's a totally different dynamic. And I'm just one of these guys. You know that. I'm a much safer player. Until I see a little bit of this, I don't really want to dive in on Torrey Smith.
Right. So I have him in a league as my number four receiver. Actually thrilled by that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
There was a draft I did Saturday night, the draft after this one. Thrilled by that. So, Rick, something I think we're going to do on the Sunday on the Inside Slant, which that'll transition us into that. We're out of time. We're going to spill over a little bit. I apologize for that. Let's pick this game, Rick. Baltimore at Denver on Thursday night. Give me a winner.
Denver.
That's simple.
I think so. I think 27-13.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're not far apart, Rick. I'm gonna throw it out here. Baltimore, everyone was way down on them early in the year. We've all started to sort of fall back in love with them. I haven't, Rick. I think Baltimore is going to have a lean year. The defense, young and hungry, yes, but young, they're not that same defense. I think they are questionable at offense. I love what Ray Rice does. Flacco got his big money. That's fine. I think you see, if not a regression, you're not going to see that air show you saw in the playoffs. I think the Ravens are going to be down. I think Denver is the team that represents the AFC in the Super Bowl, even with the defensive issues they have going right now with the suspensions and that. I'm going to go 31-17 Denver this week.
And I think you're going to see, this is my opinion, not quite, certainly not nearly as drastic as it was in the day, but I think you're going to see Baltimore staying competitive with the defense.
Yeah, competitive.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's a 500 team, though.
I'm looking 9-7, 8-8 for Baltimore.
I think that
whole
division's like that, because Cincinnati, I don't see them putting together back-to-back 11-win seasons. I think you see a log jam at the top of that division.
I do, too.
Between 9-7 and 7-9 and everywhere in between.
Exactly.
Well, there's actually only one spot in between.
Exactly, but it could be more than one team there.
Yeah, certainly.
And we're talking a division of four top-10 defenses.
Right.
You know, and that, it makes it tough.
And a lot of offensive question marks across the board.
You got it.
So, Rick, that transition to, oh, God, can you say that word for me?
Transition.
Very good. That does that to us into starting this Sunday, September 8th. Segway, yes. This Sunday, September 8th, 10 a.m. on these very airways on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasyFootball.com. We roll out the 90-minute Sunday Slant, I believe we called it, right, Rick?
The Asylum Inside Slant.
The Asylum Inside Slant.
We're going to cover every game, and we're going to get into the mail grab bag. We'll take calls. We're going to As the season progresses, we'll be bringing on some guests and try to bring you some inside information, and it should be just a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're looking at. The call-in number, again, 646-478-4679. We want your calls, your last-minute lineup questions. We're gonna gear it as much as we can, obviously, to your weekly thing. We also want to look at those daily leagues. If you have questions on those, let us know. We'll be playing those games. Now working with Star Fantasy here a little bit. We hope to get Seth back on each week for that. Not a lock yet. We have to work on that. I may be being presumptuous. But the way I see it, we're going to go around the league. We're going to answer your questions. And we have something cool also, a new segment we're going to be on there. A little help. It's not going to be just you and I making these lineup decisions. We're going to have a little help with it. You'll find out about that on Sunday. So definitely check it out, 10 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasyFootball.com.
And just make that part of your Sunday morning. Grab your coffee. You always see me tweeting on there. Grab your coffee, stick on your headphones, and just enjoy,
Check it out. You're going to want to listen to it live, as it's not going to have a lot of relevance come about 1 p.m., although we still encourage you to go back and download it, even if it's just to find out where we messed up and call it on us on Tuesday. So that will be the schedule for the season. Can't wait for that. Rick, last piece of house cleaning before we get out of here. Tomorrow night will be the Asylum Listener League drafts. There will be two of them. Rick and I will be in each one. I have sent invites out to everybody. Check your email if you sent something requesting to be in.
You just got one.
And we just got one. We have a couple guys who I've sent the invite to. I haven't heard back from. If you haven't done it yet, definitely get on there and accept that invite. Still accepting more guys. I'm going to assume some of these guys drop out or don't make it in. So you have one more night tonight and tomorrow. Email us your email address at asylumfootball@gmail.com, or you can shoot it to us over Twitter. We're going to get two leagues rolling for fabulous prizes. An Asylum surprise pack will be your win. So you definitely don't want to miss that.
Definitely. And, getting back to the Asylum Inside Slant, like Rick says, if you happen to miss it, shame on you, but get on there and download it anyway. We could use the numbers. So,
yeah, even if you just hit play for a couple
minutes.
So let's do that. Well, that's it for tonight. I'd say we'd be back next week on the Blitz, but we'll be back Sunday on the Inside Slant. So AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter. Get us to 2,000. Shoot us your questions. We'll answer them on Sunday morning, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. And to our friends at 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock, we thank you. Until Sunday, we'll see you.
Take care.
What?
Much better song.
You like this song? You're a Third Eye Blind fan. Is that why you're doing that disco boy thing? I wish you guys could have seen that. He actually...
Well, I'm not twerking anyway.
I don't know if I can twerk to this song. I don't think this is a twerking song. Let me try. Hold on.
No. Get off the table.